This is YouthCast. I'm Emily Corwin. So, advertising on school property, is it good for the bottom line, or is it bad for developing minds? Aviva Hirsch can see it both ways, and that's one thing that makes her story about advertising in schools really good. And by good, I mean both credible and interesting. Aviva is a student at the Alaska Teen Media Institute in Anchorage, where she's been producing radio stories for a few years. She talked to 11 people for this piece, more than she had room to include. Yet, Aviva told me if she could change something in her story, she'd go get one more interview with a student who feels they are personally affected by their school's advertising policies. Of course, Aviva's moved on since she produced this piece. In fact, she just graduated from high school and is headed to New Zealand in a few weeks, so that's not likely to happen. Instead, I've decided to invite you, our listener, to fill in the gap. Do you go to a school that has advertising on lockers, school buses, quiz papers, or something else? And how does that affect you? We've got a discussion going on Facebook/GenerationPRX. So listen to Aviva's story, then log on to Facebook and tell us your story.
For decades, Alaska schools have asked companies to sponsor publications such as yearbooks and playbills, or sports teams in exchange for promotion. And with the current heightened economic situation, some schools are even more crunched for funding. To generate extra revenue, many school districts across the country have invited advertisers into the classrooms and other school properties. Carol Como is the superintendent of the Anchorage School District.
I do know, I've read really bizarre things, like in some school district, either in Oklahoma or Texas, they painted a business logo on the roof of the school. And then as people flew over, they could see. I mean, that's how far some school districts have gone. So I think people are all pretty desperate for revenue.
The United Independent School District in Laredo, Texas, began selling ad space on the outside of school buses in the 2011 school year, which by early November had earned $20,000 for the district, and they had only sold ad space on 35 of their 400 buses. Some states, including Florida, even allow ads inside the buses. Advertising in schools and on school property garners income for districts, but leads to debate surrounding the direct effect on students. West Anchorage High School teacher David Vano shares his opinion.
I don't know the impact of advertising in such a sacred place. And so my first reaction, my first response is to reject the whole idea. We already live in a society that encourages, overemphasizes consumption.
Tam Agosti-Giesler, the executive director of Anchorage School Business Partnerships, has a different view on the matter.
I think young people are pretty savvy as it is, and they're bombarded on a daily basis by so much advertising already. I think they've learned to either tune it out or to let it in as their interests allow.
Agosti-Giesler argues that students must be slowly introduced to the world of adulthood, where one is responsible for making choices. As it is, the school district has partners that do not specifically adhere to healthy food guidelines, like pizza and vending machine companies, laying the responsibility in the hands of students.
I do notice them sometimes, and I don't eat the kind of food that's in the vending machines, and I don't like to support those industries, but it doesn't really affect how I learn at school or anything like that.
Says West High student Katie Dalton. Maddie Moore, another West High student, thinks people may not even be aware of the effects advertising has on them.
Just walking by something every day, you don't even realize it, but you're, subconsciously taking in the advertisement. I think it's a sneaky way to get people to think about their products.
Agosti-Giesler gives us an example of advertising at work.
I remember hearing a story of a student, this has more to do with a university there where he got a ruler, had the University of Washington's name on it when he was in third grade. And he used that ruler all through high school, and it definitely had an impact on him when he was applying to universities. He was looking at his ruler one day going, well, I'm going to apply to University of Washington. And he did, and he ended up being a student there. I'm not saying that there is not an impact in having someone's name out there, but you know, that is part of our capitalist society, and I don't have a problem with advertising.
Agosti Giesler has helped the Anchorage School District develop partnerships with businesses ranging from nonprofits to large corporations to state agencies and even faith-based organizations. West Anchorage High School allows Credit Union One to house a branch within its school building. Chrissy Bell is the Community Engagement Director of Credit Union One.
While we're there really to provide the financial education, it also, you know, it is a two-way partner, you know, it's a school business partnership. And so, you know, West helps us to sort of get our name out there a little bit more and you know, help promote.
Credit Union One's not blanketing our school and not forcing kids to take, you know, get accounts at Credit Union One. It's completely optional. So there's a good give and take relationship there.
That was the principal at West Anchorage High School, Rick Stone.
It's okay to look at, be creative to come up with funding for the school, so it's not always on the taxpayers to support the schools as much as, you know, we need the support. But again, there needs to be, I don't want to sell my soul to advertisement. There has to be a direct benefit for our kids, not just to see advertisements.
Carol Como, the superintendent of the Anchorage School District.
I think the key is that we don't allow any advertising function or activity which has the motive of profit to a private individual, firm, or corporation unless specifically approved by myself or the principal.
The school business partnership aims to support both parties equally.
Many of the schools choose to do some PR for their business partners as a way to thank them for all they do in the schools. So often they'll put their names and logos on their school newsletters, or there's sometimes a display case or a bulletin board or an area near an entrance wall where the business partners' names and logos are.
Says Agosti Giesler. While money is tight and schools may be increasingly inclined to pursue relationships with advertisers and businesses, Principal Rick Stone hopes that his school district will never succumb to the amount of advertising seen in some districts around the country.
We got to protect our kids. We can't have them walking through our schools and just being bombarded by advertisements all day long.
The common thought is that whatever happens, advertising and the presence of businesses in schools should not get in the way of learning. With the Alaska Teen Media Institute, I'm Aviva Hirsch.
Alaska Teen Media, this is Rosie.
Hi, I'm trying to reach Aviva.
Okay, just a minute. Hello?
So, do you have advertising at your school?
Honestly, at my school, I don't think advertisement is that prominent, especially compared to people I've interviewed and examples that they spoke of in their interviews. People are aware of the credit union, but I would say that advertisement isn't very prominent.
So when you started reporting this piece, did you feel like you came in with an opinion?
I really did try to be open about it. I don't think that excessive advertisement in school is healthy, but I know that it's necessary these days, and I definitely, through interviewing people for the piece, I learned that advertisements are really beneficial to schools because they do need that extra money.
So what was the hardest part of putting that story together?
I think what made that story good was that it had so many interviews. And I think I interviewed 11 people or more. And I didn't end up using every single interview, but just having that much audio and piecing through all the different interviews was really time-consuming.
What was your favorite part of putting this piece together?
I think people are really comfortable with talking about this issue because it's not so controversial. However, they do have strong opinions on the matter. And so I thought it was interesting to hear people's thoughts.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that. It's easier to get in when people don't have a big defense wall up about something. If you were to jump back into this piece and, like, tweak it again, because I know that, you know, at least when I'm producing, I, you know, a story never feels done. I just have to I just have to finish it. So was there anything that you left that you would, you know, if you could do it again or if you were to have more time, you would do with this story?
I think it'd be great to interview someone who was really affected by advertisements in their school. I know there were a few people mentioned who, or actually I talked to someone who had Coca-Cola sponsor their school, but I couldn't get an interview with her just within the time crunch, and I think she would have really added to the piece, just having firsthand experience with advertisements affecting her daily life at school.
So I know that you and AtMe do a lot of Vox Pop pieces, and I was wondering if this is the first traditional reporting piece that you had done before.
No, it's not. I mean, for kids these days, I did mostly produce Vox Pops, and that's a lot of the stories that are on PRX. But I produced a story for a contest for Third Coast International Radio Conference. And that story was more of a feature profile type piece. It actually won a couple of awards, but not the Third Coast Award.
Great. What's that one about?
That one, it was called A Cold Freezing Night, and it was about a woman in Alaska on an island on the Aleutian Chain who had to clear a runway to get fuel for the village because they had run out of fuel and it's really cold out there. So they had to clear the runway by shoveling it by hand and finally got another 10 barrels of fuel to sustain them.
That's great that you won some awards for that. Which awards did you win?
I won one award from the Alaska Press Club, and that was competing against adults from across the state. And then I won an award from Youth Journalism International.
So do you have any more stories in your head that you'd like to produce the next time you have an opportunity, you want to investigate this? Like, do you have anything like that that you're looking forward to doing?
Well, I'm going to New Zealand, and I really hope that I'm able to produce some stories about how sustainably they're able to live in New Zealand. And not everyone, of course, but I'm going to volunteer on some organic farms, and so hopefully I'll be able to produce some stories about their innovative, sustainable techniques.
Oh, I wanted to ask you, it sounds like you're pretty into, you know, radio. You're going to New Zealand. You definitely want to be producing stuff on your own there. What is it about radio and maybe working at me or otherwise that just, you know, is so appealing to you?
Radio's so unique in that you don't have any visual reference to base these words off of, and I think it's so inspiring to hear people's intonations and just leave the story up to the listener.
You've been listening to YouthCast from Generation PRX. Find Generation PRX on Facebook, Twitter, and comment on our blog, youthcast.org.